Charles is listening at this time. Hold on. The total debt tax will be $273.
Second Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth. And we know in the first letter there was problems, several problems. He dealt with those problems right out the gate and told them how to resolve them. And so, for the most part, they went to work and corrected those things. And we know in the second letter some of those problems have been corrected, and that's a good thing. So, as we read about different congregations, we see that some were faithful to the Lord, considering the seven churches in Asia, and then you read about the epistles in the New Testament that we study from, that those congregations were not without problems. Yet some of them were, you might use the phrase, more faithful than others. And so, Paul was concerned about every congregation that he had a part in writing to, those that he had a part in establishing as he went through preaching the gospel and converting people to the truth. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that Paul cared for these people deeply. He wanted them to be faithful to the Lord. He wanted the church there to do the things that God would have them to do. Nonetheless, we know at Corinth there was all kind of problems going on, and many issues were discussed with them. And so, let's look at these first few verses in chapter 11. He said, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And so you see, Paul's love for them was that they would be faithful Christians, faithful followers of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. When we are baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away and we are added to the body, the church, which is the family of God. And Christ is the head over all things to the church. And Paul wants those who are in the church, who are married to Christ, those brothers and sisters in the church, in every congregation, to be faithful. He was concerned about them. He said, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived thee by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, Paul knew that the gospel is not only complete and thorough and perfect, but it's also simple enough that anyone who has the ability to understand basic things, you might say up to middle school learning and above, can understand what God's plan is and our responsibilities to God in being faithful, and how to deal with the issues of life. So Paul wants them to be faithful as children of God, as the bridegroom of Christ. He wants them to be faithful. He says, verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So he's concerned that they might be deterred from the truth of the gospel and being faithful Christians by people who would come and preach error. And when Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he marveled that they were so soon removed from the gospel. He said, "Which is not another gospel, but there are those that would pervert the gospel of Christ." He said, "If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And so Paul is concerned that they might lose their faithfulness and be deterred from the truth that he had taught them and that they had been revealed to them through letters from him and others. He was concerned that they might be deterred from the truth and let someone come in and cause them to follow error. And so the Bible warns from the Old Testament all the way through the New about false teachers, about those who would come. The Israelites were warned about false prophets. some of God's true prophets dealt with false prophets. In the Old Testament, there's some interesting stories, or actually facts, recording of facts, factual things that happened when true prophets of God dealt with false prophets. And so we know that God's truth will prevail and that God's word cannot lie. And so we need to stay faithful to the word of God. And that's what Paul wants the church at Corinth to do, is to be faithful. Now, he is writing them and letting them know that, you know, I've preached to you, I've worked with you, I've spent my time with you, but it was at no expense to you. I robbed other churches that I might be able to preach the gospel to you. Paul even labored with his hands as a tent maker at various times, making a living for himself. And so he received support from brethren, but at Corinth, he had did so in a way that verse 8, he says, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. Paul goes on to say that the truth of Christ is in him, and that he had preached the truth to them, and now he's encouraging them. He's urging them. He's begging them to do what? Stay with the truth. Don't let anyone bring you away from what I have taught you, because I am a true apostle. And he goes through in these next several verses and talks about the fact that he is a true apostle of Christ. So don't fall away, brothers and sisters at Corinth. Be faithful. He loved them. He cared for them, and he was concerned for them. And so they struggled because they faced opposition from false teachers. They struggled because of temptation with sin, and we know that from those that were living in adulterous marriages, those that were doing wrong. And they struggled because we know from 1 Corinthians that they had division among them. There were some that wanted this, some wanted that, some wanted to follow this one, some wanted to follow that one. And Paul told them, look, one man preaches the gospel, another man preaches the gospel. You don't follow the man, you follow the gospel. And he said, I would that you'd all be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same spirit, that there be no division among you. So Paul was concerned about the church at Corinth. The Lord is concerned about his body, the church. We ought to be concerned about the body of Christ, the church, where we are here at New. We should have the desire to know the truth, to obey the truth, to teach the truth, to share the truth, and to practice the truth as Christians here at New. And I know you have that desire just as I do. Let's keep it going. Let's keep studying. Let's keep learning. Let's keep properly applying the Word of God to our life and be obedient to it. And don't let things such as false teachers or popular things that's going on in the world that pull people away from the God's Word, don't let those things deter us. Don't let division among us of looking at personalities rather than truth deter us. Sometimes personalities get in the way of congregations. Sometimes there are men or even women who want to have the last say in everything, or they may want to influence everyone else over on to the what you might call their side. Let's beware of that. And all of us be willing to give ourselves first and foremost to God, to serve Him. And if we have that attitude of servitude to God and servitude to one another, then there won't be that division among us because of attitudes or because of personalities or because of false doctrine. Because we will not stand for false doctrine. We will stand for the truth. So Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth to be faithful. Now, Paul, as we know, and we mentioned many times, he suffered considerably as an apostle. He went through a lot. Now, you've gone through a lot in your life. I don't know what you've gone through. Some of you, I've been with you through times when you suffered certain things, and some of you I see today, and in recent weeks, that you're going through hard and difficult times. And so, how do we hold to the gospel? How do we hold to the truth when things go wrong? Maybe it's not false doctrine. Maybe it's not division among us. Maybe it's an issue that you're dealing with, a health issue. Maybe it's an issue of concern for others, and you're dealing with that. How do you keep the faith in that? Well, Paul talked to these brethren, and he encouraged them, and he let them know that, hey, I understand what the truth is and the importance of obeying. I understand who you are, and you can be prone to go away because of problems among you. Don't let that distract you. But Paul said, you know, I've been through some things also. And let's look at what he said, beginning in verse 22. He says, are they Hebrews? He's talking about some of the false teachers and others that they might be listening to. Are they Hebrews? Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant. Now listen, again, let's read one more time the events that had happened in Paul's life that he had to deal with. Think about this. Labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. On journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Then he goes on in verse 29 and says, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. To Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city, and the Damascus, which with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. So Paul, you might say, had been through it. Had been through it. And so this morning, I was talking to a few of the brethren before the services, and I told a couple of them, I said, you know, we may have a fourth of our congregation out today. We have those at home that can't ever attend that are shut in for various reasons. Some of you take them food. Some of you call and check on. Some of them, it's both husband and wife. They can't get out. What are they going through? They're going through life. And they're going through the bumps in the road. And some of them is more than bumps in the road. Some of them are big ditches they've got into. And they don't really see a way out. They're suffering. They're hurting. We look around this morning and we've got brethren that's lost relatives. We've got those at home that's been in the hospital this week. We have families here that are suffering. The husband and the wife, one is sick. Or who doesn't have some problem? Well, what do we do? We need to continue to pray, to read, to study, encourage one another. We need to continue to be tough as Christians and stand up against the wiles of the devil and the waves and winds that are contrary to us, to the sufferings of life. He mentioned Stanley Posey. I've known Stanley since we were teenagers. We actually, you might use the phrase, ran around a little bit together when we were in high school. He was 2 grades behind me, and he was a good friend. I got to know him at Coleman High School, and he was not a member of the church at that time and did not attend service of the church. After Helen and I started dating and got married and Cindy got old enough to date, her and Stanley met each other, and then they started dating, and he learned the truth, baptized into Christ, has preached the gospel in numerous places, but he is suffering physically. And Cindy said the other day that she said he's ready to go on. He's tired. He's tired. And knowing Stanley like I do, he don't want to be a burden anymore. He wouldn't want to be a burden anymore. And really no one wants to be a burden anymore. But when people suffer, our family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to use good judgment in trying to help them and encourage them. You know, there's such a thing as probably doing too much. What I mean is crowding people into a corner too much and putting the chokehold on them and saying, well, I'm going to do this for you. What do you need? And just persist. But we need to be there for them and show them respect and not go to a hospital room and spend 2 hours talking to somebody that don't feel like talking. They're there for the health reasons. Maybe sticking her head at the door and say, hey, I'm here for you. Are you okay? Do you need anything? And offer to have a prayer with them and let them rest. But there's such a thing as reasonable actions. And so, but we need to be that. We need to be concerned. We need to be concerned for those that's been in the hospital this weekend and are now at home. For those that are suffering. But we also need to be concerned about ourselves. And so there's this thing, I'm working on a lesson about the convenient complex. I don't know when I'll preach it. It may be next week. It may be next month. I may not ever get to it. But the convenient complex. Sometimes we as Christians, if we're not careful, we can get into the ruts of the world and have a convenient complex. That is, that, well, I just feel a little rough today. I don't think I'll make it to the surface. Why? I'm just feeling pretty rough. And you may be feeling rough. I don't know what's wrong with you. And I'm not your judge. I'm not judging anyone. But the convenient complex. But why is it that sometimes we may be able to go to work 5 days a week with the same symptoms and get up and go do things on Saturday with the same symptoms? But on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, we just can't make it to those services because those same symptoms just keep us away from sitting for 1 hour and singing and praying and studying. What about that? What about that? How do we deal with the issues of life? I wonder what if Paul, the first time he got that stripe, or the first time he had that shipwreck, or the first time he was stoned, what if he had gave up? What if he had given up? Think about it. Do we have a convenient complex? I need to ask myself that. And I'm guilty of missing a lot of opportunities. I'm guilty of failing to do what I should have done for someone else because I just didn't get around to it. Why? Because I let something else get in the way. Maybe I could have put that off and did it later and helped that person need help. Instead of putting that person off and then they go through trouble and perhaps die before I ever get there to even offer help. Ever been guilty of that? I have. And so, thinking about life and what's good and serving God and doing His will. So, I have no idea what you go through. But, I pray for you. I pray that you'll be faithful as Paul prays. I pray that we will be faithful. I pray that my family will be faithful. Whatever comes. It could be turmoil, it could be false doctrine, it could be temptation, it could be a struggle we're going through in life that pulls us back. Let's help each other. Let's help each other pull up. Let's think, why is worship so important? Worship and coming together is so important. Yes, to honor and glorify God and remember His Son and glorify Him and be thankful for the Holy Spirit and the Word and do those things and sing praises to our Creator and Giver and Sustainer of life. That's important. That's very important. But it's also important that we come together to do that, to encourage, edify, uplift, and exhort one another in the faith by being here. By being here. Being here to encouraging one another. And if one is not here, check on them. If we don't know why they're here, find out. Hey, we missed you today. Or we missed you yesterday. You might not be able to call on Sunday afternoon, but you might be able to call on Monday and say, we missed you. You okay? Encourage them. Let's don't let anyone fall away and fall through the cracks because we fail to do what Paul is doing for the church at Corinth and what Jesus did for us in all his examples and what Peter and John did for us in their example when they were threatened, when they were beaten, when they were thrown in prison and then released and threatened again. Best don't let things like that. And when people were sick, Paul had a physical problem. And no doubt, you think Jesus or all these other apostles and these early Christians lived on earth and never had a sick day? They were human, weren't they? They faced problems just like we do. Just like we do. And Jesus went through everything. And in all the things he faced everything just as we do. He knows our feelings. He knows our cares. And he knows whether or not I have a convenient complex or not. He knows whether or not I'm prone to give up. And all of us as human beings, James, are prone to give up. So we don't need to let that prone to give up cause us to give up. Because there are things that can really press against you. So be encouraged by the Apostle Paul and his faithfulness, by the faithfulness of Jesus, the faithfulness of Moses, the faithfulness of Abraham, the faithfulness of those others I just mentioned, the faithfulness of early Christians who suffered not only with being threatened and being scattered because they were Christians, but they suffered because some of them had need for food and clothing. Some of them didn't have the daily necessities of life, and other Christians helped them. And so the Bible teaches that there's a way to help people through these things. And so some congregations have 100 people, some have 10, some have 200, some have 40 or 50. But every congregation, I don't care if it's 300 people or 30, is going to have some people that have some issues they're facing. It may be older people that are struggling with health problems. Pray for them. Help them. Help them. It may be younger couples that are suffering with a problem. Help them. Help them. My wife's not here this morning, so I'll just tell you a few things. You know, we've been greatly blessed, brothers and sisters. But my wife has spent most of her years as a caretaker. Yeah, for me and her parents and for her children. But it hadn't caused her to give up. She didn't say, woe is me, because she had to sit home and other ladies were on vacation. She didn't say, woe is me, when other ladies went somewhere on a shopping trip and she had to say, I can't go. No, she didn't say, woe is me. You see, we didn't say, woe is us, when we were hit so financially hard we had to sell what we had worked to have to get money to be able to get by because the medical bills were so great. I have no idea what you're going through. You have no idea what I go through. And I tell you what, folks, we all go through something. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the Word. Don't give up on hard times. And when things are going good, don't give up. Don't look away. Because sometimes when things are going real good for people, they have a tendency to look away from where their blessings have come from. And they think, you know, I've got it going real good, so I don't really need to go to church. I don't really need to study my Bible because things are going so good. You know what? The religion of serving God, the faith in Christ Jesus, the service of a Christian in our lives to God is not just a fair weather thing. Well, when the weather's fair, when the weather's good, when things are sunny and the crops are growing and all is well and our tables are filled with food and our cars are running good and our houses are cold in the summer and they're warm in the winter and we've got all that, don't give up because we think we can stand on our own two feet and make it because we can't. But when that house is hot in the summertime because you can't afford an air conditioner or a window fan. Or when that house is a little bit cold in the wintertime because you have to turn it down so much because you can't afford that extra $50 a month, so you got to be a little bit chilly and wear a double extra layer of clothes to keep warm in your house. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Well, you know what? We'll have a lot of blessings, though. Well, let's turn over to Timothy and let's see what Paul told him. 2 Timothy chapter 4. About the fact that, you know, Timothy, you're a young preacher. And I'm the old aging Apostle Paul, and you're my son in the faith. Now, Timothy, I want you to be a faithful Christian. And I want you to preach the gospel. Preach the word, Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Timothy, you need to study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, handling right the word of truth. And you know, Timothy, it's not woe is me as an apostle. You know what some of the things I've been through, Paul said. So Timothy, it's not woe is me. I want to encourage you to be firm in the faith. Because let me tell you what's going to happen, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. And Paul told Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Think about that. The old Apostle Paul, that you might say had been through it all, is saying to the young preacher, Timothy, there's going to be a better place. So do what you're supposed to do here. Be faithful. Because Paul said, I'm assured there's a crown of life waiting. And it can be for you, Timothy. So, remember, folks, there's a better place waiting. So let's be good here. Let's be good servants of God. If you're here this morning and you have need to be baptized into Christ, you believe He's the Son of God, you're going to confess that, repent of your sins, you can be baptized and leave this building a child of God. Your sins forgiven. If you're here this morning and you're struggling and you need the prayers of brethren for some reason or another, please come while we stand.